While the conversation here in Wisconsin and Minnesota is mostly about oversaturated fields, the rest of the crop reports have been pretty positive, according to meteorologist Jerry Radke.
Corn was 74% good to excellent versus 65% at this time last year, and soybeans were 72% good to excellent versus 65% last year. 90% of the soybean crop has emerged nationally. We're keeping an eye on some of the flooding situation in parts of the Mississippi Valley, but otherwise the crop looks to be in good shape.
Well, on June 30th, the USDA will be sharing their estimate of the remaining supply of soybeans in the U.S. and just how many acres were planted to the crop this year. And while the acreage estimate will get a lot of attention, ag economist Darrell Good says keep an eye on the stock estimate because he feels the numbers could be really tight.
Unless June 1 stocks are 25 to 30 million bushels larger than expected, the domestic soybean crush during the final 3 months of the marketing year will have to be much smaller than during the same 3 months last year, and or imports will have to exceed the projected level in order to maintain year-ending stocks at a pipeline level.
And while we're on the subject of soybeans, while many growers are concerned with high yields from their beans, they also should be focusing in on components that impact demand and price. Those are the words of Soybean Board member Doug Winter, who said high protein and oil content are especially important to U.S. soybeans' biggest customer, the livestock industry.
97% of the meal that we produce out of our soybean crop goes for animal agriculture, and they need the higher protein level, the more efficient the animals that they're feeding that meal to. The rates of gain are more efficient. They do a better job of converting that into value-added products, such as the various meats that we export.
And Winter says this is not only important on the domestic front, because if we're going to continue to be a major player on the global scene, we have to respond to what that customer wants.
We have a lot of competition from South America. They historically have a little better percentage of protein and percentage of oil in their soybeans down there. And to maintain our competitiveness globally to export customers, we're going to have to be ever diligent to increase those volumes of oil and protein that are in our soybeans.
Well, looking at the cheese market, we start out the week stronger with blocks gaining a penny, pricing to $2.01 a pound, although they're still at a discount to the barrels, but just slightly. They gained a half cent to $2.01 and one-half cent per pound, while butter's up a nickel, now at $2.28 and one-half cent per pound. Class 3 prices generally stronger. June did drop a penny to $21.33, but July up 33 to $21.88. August tops at $21.66, and your September Class 3 up 35 cents to $21.65. Mixed day on the Board of Trade, July corn drops 8¾ cents to $4.44 1/2 cents per bushel. September, that's off 9¼ to $4.39. The beans for July up 9 cents, now pricing to $14.24 3/4 cents per bushel. September, up 4 cents to $12.67 1/2 cents. While your wheat for July off 5½ cents at $5.79 3/4 cents per bushel. As far as the livestock, slaughter cows, cutter and utilities, 95 to 115. Most of the slaughter cows, 79 to 94. Replacement bull calves, 225 to 370. Heifer calves top at 275. And the colored beef calves, 275 to 450. Barrels and goats, again, range from 75 to 86. With the market lambs, 155 and down. And that's your lowdown on the ag scene. I'm Mike Austin for WSAU.